Welcome back to Dove Zev's episode 2.
You know, have you ever been faced with that age-old question when you're in the middle of a conversation and it goes just a little bit too far to somebody's comfort and they go, "You're judging me."
Yeah.
Like, how many times? I mean, too many.
Yeah, way too many to count.
Yeah, way too many. You know, and the next thing comes out of it is, "Well, you're a Christian. You're not supposed to judge me." You know, and
that's not Christ-like.
Not Christ-like.
That's not what Jesus would do.
I mean, yeah. You know, and there, believe it or not, I've even heard it taught from different institutions that we're not supposed to judge. And you know, really, it goes completely against what Jesus actually was saying.
Yeah.
So today, I think we're going to try to hit on is the difference between judging and judgmental.
Being judgmental.
Yeah. And if I use the word judgmentalism, it's kind of the same thing, one and the same. We also have, and we also have to realize too today that there's a difference between being a judge and judging.
Right.
You know, and that again is all the missing pieces that get thrown completely off topic, out of context. I mean, it just drives me crazy, you know. So, I tell you what, you want to just go right into the scripture. It's a very common scripture. Oh my gosh. I mean, this scripture is used, the first part of the scripture is used over and abused over and over and over and totally taken out of context.
So if you guys see us looking off to the left or right, we have monitors so we can keep track of what each other of us are doing. So the scripture today that Ryan will be reading is Matthew 7, 1 through 6 and Matthew 7, 16.
Yeah, so in Matthew 7, it's a very common scripture. Again, most often, verse 1 is the only remembered verse. Everything else seems to totally vanish out of people's memory. Or just never read.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is often a bigger problem within the
picking
body of Christ.
Everything.
Yeah, you know, bigger. Oh, that reminds me to remind everybody that, you know, you need to read the scriptures for yourself.
Yeah.
You've got to go and read what is being talked about. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're in a church. I don't care if you've been listening to the same person for 80 years. You know, it doesn't matter. We're all human. You've got to go back and read the scriptures for yourself. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to things and see things for how they are actually written. And do not be afraid to cross-reference different versions.
Correct.
That may be another podcast down the road.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic in itself.
But we're not going to touch that today.
Yeah.
So, you know, so Matthew 7, verse 1, let's just read what it says. It says this, and we're reading out of the NIV today. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Now, can we just stop there? I mean, that's it, right?
Right.
That's it. Is that it? That's it.
Don't judge.
Don't judge.
Problem solved.
Yeah, Jesus told us not to judge each other right wrong. There. That's, it is wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah, totally wrong. Let's go to verse 2, which is pretty much kind of the, almost like a nuclear zone that nobody goes to. So, verse 2, for in the same way you judge others. Uh-oh. I think Jesus just said that
you're going to have to judge.
You do judge things.
Yeah.
In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, are you seeing the sudden stark contrast here? I mean, you can't even get past verse 2 yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not at the end. It will be measured to you. So let's move on. Verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye and... I done messed up.
That's okay.
Well, this is part of being normal. Here we go. Back up. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye and you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In verse 6, do not give the dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet. And turn and tear you to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot being said right here.
A lot.
Yeah. You know, I mean.
And a lot of context, too.
Yeah, a lot of context, which is another.
Very important for verse 1.
Yeah, context.
Do not judge or you will be judged.
Yeah, do not judge or you will be judged.
Or you too will be judged, yeah.
And he's saying in the same way. So, I mean, that means.
Yeah.
You know, that means if I'm judging you for something, then I better be clear of it.
Right. In the same way you'll be measured.
Yeah, I mean, because if I judge you for a particular thing, and all the while I'm doing the same thing.
If you judge me for stealing, and then you turn around and do the same thing, that one makes you a hypocrite.
Yeah, definitely.
But on top of that, you'll be judged in the same way.
And in some ways, I think Jesus was also insinuating it's actually worse, because it's going to be measured. It's going to be measured back to you. You know,
almost like double fold.
Yeah. So it's like it's one thing that you're trying to judge somebody, but the problem is it's going to be given back to you, and, right. and it's not coming back from the other person. Now it's
given back.
Yeah, there is actually it's a spiritual law here.
Yeah.
So there's something at play here that we can't see with our eyes or ears or touch or anything.
Well, I wouldn't say righteously. It's not.
You know, that just gives it away. Then he turns to an analogy that is often used very much. You know, oh, you got a little something in your eye there, Isaiah. Let me help you get that out. All the while I'm wearing this great big blindfold or this big board across my eye.
Yeah.
You know, and how can I see to help you?
Right.
And that's what Jesus is trying to say. You know, look, you can't judge somebody if you yourself are going through the same thing or something similar.
Correct.
So you gotta be careful, really careful. So he was
what you're playing with fire.
Yeah. I mean, what Jesus was doing was he was laying down the parameters of how to go about this. And the first thing he basically said was, hey, check your heart at the door.
Right.
You know, and last week we were talking about loving your neighbor yourself and love God with all your heart, you know, and all your soul and all your mind. And, you know, that's where all this keeps falling back to. Everything falls back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And
those two things.
Yeah. So if your intention is going to somebody to call out a fault,
and it's not loving or for, dare say, correction, but righteous correction because you love your neighbor, then you're wrong.
Yeah, you're in the wrong, and you're definitely doing it for selfish gain.
Correct.
You're trying to do it for your own good. You're not really doing it to uplift the other person or to love another person. You're again, it comes back to selfish reasons.
Right.
Yeah, which is the lack of love.
Complete opposite of love.
Yeah. And, you know, and then, of course, he calls out the hypocrite part that he did earlier. And then he does give a little bit of advice. He goes, go ahead and take the plank out of your eye first.
Right.
So you know, even when you're going through a bad thing, it doesn't mean that if you've been, this is another fallacy that happens. Well, you were a thief all those years ago. You know, once a thief, always a thief. You can't help other thieves.
Right.
You know, you can't help others come back to, you know, righteous living or come back to Christ.
God can't use you.
You got to help somewhere else where you weren't in that mess.
Yeah.
And that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you know, work out the problem that you yourself are dealing with so you can see clearly. And then now watch that this is the key right here. This is absolutely key and totally missed. You will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What do you say? It's okay to judge, but make sure you're seeing clearly. In other words, the only way for me to be able to see that there's a speck in your eye is I have to look at you and have to judge what I see. And go, oh, there's something that doesn't belong. Hey, let me. Do you realize what's going on? Let me show you what's happening. Let me show you what I see. And you do it in love and in kind and with intention to uplift the other person, not right. to tear them down.
But not only that becomes an empowerment because then whatever you struggled with or me or whoever, you can then turn around and help that same person out of the same stuff.
Right,
and of judging them. But judging sounds like a harsh word, but it's been turned into a harsh word.
Yeah, it's definitely been turned into a harsh word. And a bigger definition of that will be basically becomes a testimony.
Yeah, a testimony.
Yeah, because what you could have been is no longer and you became something
brand new. And you understand what it's like to help somebody else out of the
same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and but Jesus didn't stop there. He gave another warning. He says, don't give the dogs what is sacred.
Mm-hmm.
What's he referring to as sacred here? The ability to see something and do something about it.
Correction.
So if you take your ability to be able to see something, but your intentions,
you abuse that.
It is abused, or you're doing it not in love. He's describing it. You're throwing it to the dogs. You're throwing it to the pigs. And they may trample them under their feet. In other words, you're taking a very big risk at making a mess.
Right.
That's what he's saying. May trample them under their feet. In other words, you may not get nobody's attention at all. You might just be a bunch of sound and noise to them. Or they might go, what is this? And just trample, destroy your intention.
Yeah, and for somebody to be able to see clearly, that's a gift. given by God, and for you to misuse that,
yeah,
no wonder it gets given back to you, double fold, whatever it may be. It's definitely dished back to you by God.
Yeah, another term for judging would be discernment, and that is a gift of the Spirit.
Correct.
You know, if we cannot use discernment and not have some sort of judging involved,
right?
You know, otherwise, I'm not even sure how to even clarify that. You just can't have one without the other.
Discernment is extremely important in everyday walk.
Yeah, I mean, you need to know you need to know what's the basics of a child. Yeah. I mean, child walked up to a stove, touched a stove. It's cold. It doesn't hurt. But one day, a child walks up and goes and touches it. Ow, it burned the child. Mm-hmm. They'll never touch that stove again in that manner without approaching it a little bit softly and putting your hand out. It's like, is it warm? Can it hurt me? That's what judging does, is it allows us to prevent harm to ourselves. But the problem is people turn it over to judgmentalism or being judgmental. We turn into wanting to become a not just someone that observes, not just somebody that tries to bring good, but we turn it into, we want to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner.
Right.
And we're not called to that.
No.
You know, we are not called to be a judge, but it's not wrong to be ready to, in a judging form, ready to take on something and know what's good and bad.
Right.
So, did you have anything you want to say before we go to the next segment here? We got a little bit to cover today.
I think we're good for this segment.
Yeah.
We got some notes here to keep ourselves in line with what we want to talk about.
Yeah, this is a touchy subject for many.
Yeah.
And, you know, so let's move. I'm going to move on down the scriptures, down in the same chapter, which a little key note, we may be breaking this chapter up into some other podcast.
Correct.
There's about five topics in this one chapter of 7 of Matthew. So we're looking to possibly break that up. But skipping down in Matthew 7, verse 16, you know, it says, by their fruit you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Now, granted, here Jesus is talking about watching out for false prophets.
Right.
And all. But the point is that he's saying, hey, you got to be able to recognize this stuff.
Which comes back to discernment.
Discernment, which is a form of judging.
Yep.
Now, keep in mind, discernment is not in us natively. It's not in us naturally. It's given to us by the Spirit of God. So the true judge is really not us. It's just us being obedient to the Spirit.
Right.
And, you know, that is a primary difference when it comes to judging. So I cannot imagine going up to a grapevine and finding peaches. I would probably be a little bit concerned.
I'd be alarmed.
Yeah, I'd definitely be a little concerned.
I would not want to eat them.
No, I would. There would definitely be some kind of manipulation going on there.
Right.
you know, and the likeness of, you know, you go into certain crowds and you start looking around, you're like, I'm not so sure this environment is a good one to be in.
Right.
You know, and that environment goes everywhere. You know, I've been in some churches in my lifetime where I'm like, man, what I saw this morning does not line up with the word. I visited. I'm not coming back. You know, you got to know what is good. You got to be able to rightly divide, you know, the word of truth. You have to know. And that comes down to judging again. And, you know, we really have to learn to properly practice this. So how do we biblically judge one another? That
could be a heavy, heavy topic. And there could be multiple explanations of that, depending on, you know, who's teaching this.
Yeah. Could be.
And be very debatable. That's the term I'm looking for.
Yeah, we're trying to take a very straightforward approach to this as much as we possibly can. And, you know, judging does require some skill. I believe it takes a little bit of learning.
No, it's not something you learn overnight.
No.
That's something people need to realize, too. You don't just know.
Yeah, like you're some self-appointed, ready-to-roll judge of some sort. Yeah. You know, the big key difference is being able to hear the Spirit in your own heart talk. Mm-hmm. You know, don't go there.
Being open to correction and judgment yourself.
Yeah. Again, that comes back to taking the plank out of our own eyes.
Yeah.
You know, we really need
seeing clearly.
Yeah. And, you know, so let me get open here. Here soon, the James 4 and 11 verses, yes, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. James kind of really put it out there. The book of James, by the way, just a key note, is a brutal book when it comes to just putting the truth in your face. James did not hold anything back. He was very forward. So if you ever want to read a book that just kind of awakens your spirit, James would be a good place to start. Just kind of a side note.
That's a good side note.
Yeah. One other thing before I go there, I want to say, though, being judgmental is kind of the same as being slanderous. And, you know, judgmental means that you are taking what you see and being self-righteous and going, oh, well, that's not the way I would do it. So, yeah, you're wrong.
You're correcting out of your own selfishness and out of your flesh instead of out of your spirit.
Yes. And that is
for gain.
Yeah, and that is a hard thing for people to grasp. You know, because, I mean, I see it all the time.
Which then this all falls back to love one another.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the key things you're going to see difference between an actual disciple in Jesus versus someone that's just kind of playing the game really is by their love. And Jesus even said that, you know, by your love, you'll know you're my disciples.
Right.
You know, I mean, you cannot separate that. It's not possible. So, yeah, let's go to James chapter 4. Let me get there real quick. Yeah, James.
We are on the fly here.
Yep. Like I said, we're not perfect. We are not doing perfect in this in this podcast. This is all about being real.
Yeah.
Everyday
stuff. And a discussion.
We're not worried about, you know, adding an extra 30 seconds to a show.
No.
Just because we're doing something that we could add up. That's not it at all. But James chapter 4 and 11
through 12.
It says this: brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Doesn't this sound a little contradictory to what we just got done saying? This is why there's confusion, though.
Right.
I mean, this is why there's confusion.
Who are you to judge your neighbor?
But meanwhile, I just got done telling you that we need to be able to judge.
Because of discernment. Or we fall into the same entrapments.
But again, this is the misconcept. I never said anything about being a judge.
No. You did state that we are not the judge. Which the scripture... Right. By the way, I shouldn't be pointing at the actual verses, kind of looking at it, but the scripture states that there's only one judge. So we are not to execute any kind of judgmental consequences toward people. That's not our job.
No.
No. We're supposed to love unconditionally.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, you know, you see something's broke, especially if you're a male, typically. You see something broke, you have an instinct to want to fix it.
Right. Yeah.
And while that instinct in and of itself is not bad,
you have to learn how to use it.
Yes, you got to learn where the lines draw. Mm-hmm. And James was actually saying, if you're judge, if you judge against your brother or sister, then you're speaking against the law itself. So see, in the Old Testament, the law judged us, mm-hmm. and it was impossible for us to judge the law. The law was set, and you know, so with that said, we're not supposed to be a judge. And that's what James is saying here. So again, taking out of context, you're not supposed to judge me. No, we're not to be a judge. The difference is I cannot pass the sentence on your,
right.
on whatever the consequences for you. Well, you did this, you deserve that.
Truly, we just need to know our role.
Right.
And that's knowing who you are in Christ.
Right.
Which wraps back around to that. But knowing your role is the most important part.
Yeah, knowing who you are.
Yeah.
And who you are and what you are and what God has called you to be.
Exactly.
You know, and that leads into identity, and that may be another podcast.
That's a whole other podcast.
So, that leads into understanding who you are.
Right.
And you know, but let's take this into a worldview. You go into a court. Mm-hmm. You know, what do we see? We see a judge. You see a jury.
Yep.
You see the defendants and the plaintiffs, and you see all that stuff. You know, you see the guards around the room, the crowds in the seats. You know, you get the whole picture, And but at the end of the day, the judge is sitting up there in the seat is, and I say this is what they're supposed to be, but they're not supposed to be corrupted, and they're not supposed to be taking any sides. They're there to keep order. They're a neutral party. Yeah, they're there to keep order in the room and make sure the law is upheld. Mm-hmm. The jury is actually who passes the verdict, and then the judge executes it.
Right.
Okay. The whole time, what's happening with the defense and the other guys, they're presenting their case to try to show who is right, who is wrong, and then it leaves it up to the jury. Well, let's back up from that a minute. At what point do we become a judge? We should be where we're supposed to be waiting on God to pass the judgment.
Right.
Just waiting on the jury, as strange as it sounds, might be 10,000 angels watching us. The jury might be your own peers at work. I mean, I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. And, you know, but eventually God steps in and says, this is the sentence.
Correct.
Not us.
That's not our job.
Not our job. We're not to be the judge.
No.
But we can
judge. Yeah. We are not to be the judge.
Yeah.
Two different things.
So we got a verb.
It's an action.
And a noun.
Yeah, a verb and a noun.
Verb and a noun.
Welcome to English.
Yep.
Here at Dove's Edge.
Absolutely. If we get anything right, we got that right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so, you know, James is pretty clear about that. I mean, you can't really get any clearer. He's like, really? How can you possibly stand against that? I mean, who do you think you are?
He's basically, yeah, exactly. He's literally saying, do you not know who you are, what your role is? You're overstepping.
I mean, do you remember the account? We don't have this on scripture, but do you remember the account where a couple of people came up to Jesus and said, hey, and the mom came up and said, hey, I want my two sons to sit to your right hand.
Oh, yeah, the throne.
Yeah, the throne.
Yeah.
Remember that? And Jesus,
which I can find that and put in here.
Yeah, it just wasn't part of the part of the thought process.
I'll put it up on the screen for you guys.
You know, the bottom line is that, you know, he Jesus was kind of looked at him a little bit shocked. He's like, do you really know what you're asking?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the authority to set you to say they can sit to the right or left of my father.
Yeah, Jesus said that.
I mean, so, hello.
Yeah.
Even Jesus recognized the judgment seat
and the role that he had.
The role, yes. I mean, so if Christ himself
had a role,
had a specific role, a line to draw, you know, he knew who he is, knew who he was, and he will be, but still set the line. Boundary. Yes,
then
he knew.
Why do we think we're any more special?
Yeah, how in the world are we? How in the world are we that much better?
Yeah,
I mean that's what James is saying here. I mean, James is on top of it. So let's keep moving. You know, discernment, discernment is the difference between righteously judging and passing judgment. You know, and what is righteous judgment? It is not passing judgment. It is just knowing what is
right and what is wrong.
And let me put this in different words. It's knowing what is okay with God and what's not okay with him.
Right.
And, you know, if he's not okay with it, probably a bad idea to be doing it. You know, simple thing is, you know, little Johnny goes to the store, steals a pack of bubblegum, brings it home, eats it. Maybe little Johnny didn't know he even stole. But his mom finds it and says, Johnny, what is this? Where'd you get this from? Got it at store. Did you pay for it? No. Well, you stole it. Correction. Next time little Johnny goes to the store, he takes a pack of gum again. Now he knows you stole something.
Right. He's aware.
He's aware.
Because before, it's correction to make you informed of what you did. Now you know, and you're actively doing it.
This time around, little Johnny found, mother takes him back to the store, makes him pay out of his piggy bank.
There's consequences for that.
And now he's grounded for an X amount of time. Right. Maybe his game console is taken away from him. Who knows?
Right.
You know, there's consequences. But the judgment is passed not based on what a person thinks, but based on what pre-exists. Yeah. So, and that's why at the end of Revelation, you know, there's going to be a great throne judgment of everything.
Yeah, everything.
That's going to be a crazy day or that's whatever it is.
Passing judgment.
Yeah. But again, only by God.
Mm-hmm.
So
none of us gonna have a say in that.
No. Let's head back to Matthew chapter 18 in verses 15 and 17. Some more good information here.
Are you gonna go ahead and read that?
Yeah, I think I am. Just so go short. Ahead. Why not?
Once again, it'll be posted up. You'll see.
Yeah.
It. But we didn't decide if we're gonna read that one today or not, but why not? Why the heck not?
Yeah, why not?
Matthew 18:15-17. Yeah. We only have notes literally because, well, speaking for myself, ADHD, it's really easy to just...
Squirrel
or forget what you're going to say.
Right.
Just like that.
Yep. Matthew 18 through 15. Here we go. Chapter 18, 15 through 17. My bad.
Yep, correct.
If your brother or sister sins and goes out, go and point out their fault. That tends to be read by yourselves, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They like to just point things out and stop there.
Right.
But that's not where it stops.
But they like to... Yeah, this next point is going to be very important. I'm just going to...
Just between the two of you.
Yeah. Not publicly.
Right.
Just not a gossip.
Yeah. Not, don't make a scene. Let's not put it all over certain social media broadcast. You know.
Just between the two of you. That's a very important line. Sentence right there.
Right. If they listen to you, you have won them over. It didn't say they have to agree with you.
If they,
I want to point that out. If they listen, you won them over. See, it's not, this is, judging someone is not about always making a point that someone thinks that what you're saying is right.
Right.
It's a matter of being able to reason against each other and talk things through. And it definitely is best between the two parties and not public. Because that way,
there's
not,
so
you're
much
not,
more conflict.
Yeah, you're not in more speculation, conflict, more drama.
People taking sides on a situation they're not even a part of.
Yep.
Stuff like that. And all that causes so many more issues.
It causes chaos, which last time I checked, God doesn't... God's not the author of confusion. So, you know, if...
There's some conflicts there of interest. Yeah.
Yep. So first, let's move it along. It says this. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. What that saying is if a person doesn't hear you, take people along with you so that they also hear what you're saying.
It's accountability.
Yeah. So what they're saying is not being made up, because now you're established by two or more witnesses. Right. If they still refuse to listen, this is all about listening, by the way. It has nothing to do with them agreeing.
Or accepting anything.
I have been in places where people use the scripture to think that they have a full pass to get their point across only. So, oh, you're not going to hear me out? I'm going to get some witnesses. You don't listen to them? You're still not going to agree with me?
I'm going to get... using agreeing
terms. Now I'm going to take you in front of everybody. That's not what this is about. This is about listening. So if a person is least listening to you, you're already in line with the scripture. And you can't go to step two or step three.
Yeah, and that's why step one, if they listen to you, you won. Okay.
You won. It's over.
It's over.
Even if nothing, even if it's not really resolved, it's over.
It's over.
You've aired it. Why? Because we're not the judges.
Yep.
Who deals with a person's heart after they listen?
The
not
Holy
us.
Spirit.
Right. Exactly. Hello.
Not in our ballpark.
Yeah. We are not the judge to pass judgment.
Who deals with us when we get saved? The Holy Spirit, not the pastor's job.
Right.
Same thing.
Over and over and over. In verse 17, they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, why did they say pagan tax collector? Because if you're a pagan and you're practicing pagan beliefs, you're in those beliefs, you're not going to change. A tax collector, they are set on certain rules.
You're too stubborn.
They're not going to change. Everything's completely black and white. Right. They're not going to change. So the best thing to do is unassociate.
Just walk away.
Walk away. Doesn't say make a stink of it. Doesn't say fight about it. It says pretty much don't associate. Walk away. It is not a sin to stay away from things that bring you harm.
Right.
And that goes out to anybody out there that's being abused, neglected, whatever. You know, if you're in a scenario where it's just not good, if you can get away, whether it's through authorities or talking to somebody or whatever, you've got to get out of that situation.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have
absolutely,
because if the other side's not listening and they're not accepting what's going on,
you do not have to stay.
You do not have to be there.
They don't need to be a part of your life. If it's a person, they don't need to be a part of your life.
Right.
Whatever the situation is, doesn't matter. It applies all the way across the board.
I tell you, some of the hardest feelings to ever feel in your lifetime is losing a friend because of differences in opinion. And it's happened a few times in my lifetime.
Right.
And you just have to let people keep walking the way they want to go. You can't change them.
Can't stop them.
Can't stop them. Can't judge them. And you just have to allow them in the hands of God. And
you can't pass judgment.
No, you can't pass judgment.
You can judge them. You can't pass judgment.
Yeah. I can say, this is what they're doing. This is what's happening. Doesn't look good. But that's for my sake, because I'm not going to be part of that either.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it hurts.
But, be in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah, it hurts. What do you do? Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, so here's, again, Jesus talking again. This is the way to handle it.
Yep.
You know, and but the big key there was listen. Why? Because when you're listening, you're at a person's heart. And this is a heart matter. This is a matter of love. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, it's coming back to that. So I think we should end probably on one of the most commonly used scriptures ever, but
most common used scripture,
yeah.
But very important for the reasoning for judging one another,
yeah,
and checking each other's fruits.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I walked up to an apple tree, normally you don't pick the apples off the ground that are all mushy and nasty.
No.
I mean, you don't really eat those.
No,
but it's totally okay to take one of those kind of apples off a tree and eat, right?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we just go ahead and eat a nasty apple off a tree that's half rotted. That's perfectly fine, right? Yeah. It's not.
No.
You know, so, but how do you know that? I mean,
because discernment.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, it's on the ground. Oh, look at it. You're inspecting the fruit. Oh, it's got a hole. Is that a worm? Oh,
yeah. Exactly.
No, I don't want that. Yeah. Oh, look at that red apple or green, whatever. It's really nice and shiny. It looks good.
Yeah.
You're inspecting it. It's the same way, but it's a spiritual term.
Yeah, and... But you're not passing judgment on the tree.
No, not the tree's fault.
Now, mind you, Jesus did that one time.
Oh yeah, he cursed the tree, the fig tree.
But the fig tree didn't have any fruit. It didn't have any figs.
That's a whole other topic.
Whole other topic. But
stay tuned.
Yeah, and he definitely had a few words for that tree. But moving along, let's end on Proverbs
27:17.
Yeah, 27:17. Yep.
This scripture probably sums up the whole reason why Christians should judge other Christians accordingly.
Yeah, and
the body of Christ, I should say, it's a better term.
Yeah,
than Christians.
And the big word here is really holding one another accountable.
Holding one another accountable.
You know, before I even open that scripture, actually, let me get it ready here.
Yeah.
I do want to say something.
27:17. So there you go.
Okay. So before I read that, I want to say this. We live in a society that operates highly on hierarchy. Live in a society that doesn't really operate in the way that Christ laid out the church. It's supposed to be Him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and then everybody else on the same playing field with different roles.
Right.
That way we can help one another. But society has created hierarchies. It's created, some would argue, Ryan, it's leadership. You know, this leader, you're supposed to submit, and you're supposed to do this. And that's not what Jesus was saying at all.
No.
What we are to do is respect one another. We're supposed to hold each other accountable. We're supposed to question.
We're supposed to lift each other up.
Let's encourage. Sometimes it's corrective criticism.
Yeah.
Because you
don't want to see your brother or your sister struggling in whatever area and then not help them.
Right. And the basic reason for that is because we're all on the same team trying to
accomplish
the same goal.
Yeah. We're all going towards the same thing. At the end of the day, we're all going towards the same thing.
Yeah.
We're all humans.
Yeah. So
why wouldn't you want to help your brother or sister or whatever?
Exactly.
I mean, like.
So in Proverbs 27:17, it reads this, very simple, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need one another. We need to grit against one another at times in mm-hmm. order to open up to new ideas and new things. We need to be able to transpire the things across each other's plates. There are things that I say that another doesn't like, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not give me right to pass judgment and be judgmental and say, "Well, that person is so far off their block that I can't be around them."
Right.
You know, now that's not to say if you're doing something against God, but
that's
if we're on the same field, you know, if there's something I did and you brought it to my attention,
it doesn't prevent you from working together with one another.
Right. And I'm going to take this full swing back to the original scripture. You know, the full swing is if there's something going on in my life and just using you for example, you're not held in account. You don't have nothing like that going on in your life, and the board's out of your eye, and you see something I'm going through. Mm-hmm. You can come up to me and say, "Hey, Ryan, I noticed this." You know, one of the places that happened in the Bible was with David, and you know he was doing a lot of bad things, and the prophet came up to him and said, "Hey, you know, you're doing all this stuff," and God, I'm really paraphrasing this. God's seen it all. David repented. There were still consequences.
He definitely had
very
consequences.
Heavy consequences.
Pretty sure at one point he lost his kid over it.
Yeah, lost a kid. He lost a lot of things.
A lot.
But he did not lose God still loving him.
No.
But there were consequences. So, you know, but the judgment wasn't in the prophet. The judgment wasn't in David. It was passed by God.
Exactly.
So
the prophet just brought it to his attention and said, "Hey, if I was you, I'd change your ways, buddy."
Yeah, which was
he cares about him.
Yeah, right. Which was really God's grace doing that for him.
Exactly.
So, guess what I'm trying to say?
And it's like showing God's love. How spreading the gospel, showing God's love. If love is the center of everything, then us passing judgment on one another and even the people who, you know, who isn't saved, it's all out of love because you want to see them saved.
Yeah, and you're not really passing judgment, though. I mean,
not passing judgment. Yeah. You are wrong term. You are checking their fruits, and if you see something that's just not right, you know, you bring it to your attention. Not passing judgment, correction, bringing fog.
Yeah, this is probably the most tongue-twisted.
It's really hard to
keep
process judging, judgmental, passing judgment, not passing judgment.
Right, and again, that's why this is so confusing to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why everybody falls. That's why so
many
people fall.
Simple as me just saying passing judgment. Yeah. That is not what I meant. Correct that.
Yeah,
you caught me.
Yeah. Well, sorry. it is what it is. I mean, live example, right? So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, here we are. We just have to, we really need to love one another. And in doing that, we're going to see things in each other's lives that could be better.
Right.
You know, or prevent us from harm. Because sometimes when you see things that is bad, the person may not even know they're going through it. You bring your attention. You just save them from doom. Who knows? I mean, you know.
You don't know what it could be. It could be anything.
Yeah. So I mean, I'll give you an example. Maybe the person that this happened to is watching. I'm not going to call any names out. But when I was a child, it's probably about maybe 9 or 10 years old. I was being babysat by another person and the mom and this kid was like really into Superman back then. This is in the mid to late 80s. And this kid was probably about 3 or 4 years younger, I think, at the time. Mm-hmm. So he's maybe 5 or 6. And he was at the top of a set of steps, and he was playing. And I was starting to go up steps.